أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. As mentioned, this is Surah Al-Imran, which is the third Surah of the Quran Sharif, and the previous Surah, Surah Baqarah. There is great connection between the two Surahs. Among them is that in Surah Baqarah, Allah Ta'ala has given His Asma, His great names, by which if they are taken, then du'as are immediately accepted. And that is, وَإِلَٰهُكُمْ إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. Especially when we are desperate for something, we should read those words, that ayat, and make du'a. Du'as are readily accepted. And then in Surah Al-Imran, the first ayat, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Read those words and then make du'a. Du'as are readily accepted. Also, the surah is revealed with regard to the Christians and their false beliefs, and rectifying the false beliefs of the Christians. And at the same time, we must take the lesson that we must also correct our false and wrong beliefs if we have got any. Because Iman is the most important thing. The surah, according to Abu Ishaq, Rahmatullahi, is one of the great mufassirin of the Quran Sharif. If we say the first 83 ayats of the surah were revealed with regard to the people of Najran. Najran was a town in Yemen, and it was a town of the learned of the Christians and the pious people of the Christians. Like we have the Vatican today, like that, Najran was well known for its piety as far as Christians are concerned and for the learned people of that place. When Nabi ﷺ, his da'wah spread far and wide, and everyone came to know about it, and the ayat and the teachings of the Quran were also known by all people, then these people, they wanted to challenge Islam and wanted to prove that their religion is correct. For that, they made a deputation of 60 people to come to Medina Sharif and to debate with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to prove that their beliefs are correct, the Christian beliefs. Here also we learn one great lesson. When a person in his own mind, he thinks, I know a lot, and he thinks I'm very pious, but when he's a little bit exposed, then it comes to be known how much, how pious he was and how intelligent he was. Then it becomes to be known. Otherwise, every person on his own, he thinks, Ana, it's only me, and I am very pious, and I am right here. And usually, such people will easily find fault with other people. They can't see their own faults, but they are seeing the faults of other people. So anyway, this group came. Out of them, 14 were very of the top elite people. And the transport was also very special according to the time at that time. The others came walking, while these 14 people were mounted on conveyances. Among them was the Amir, who was known as Abdul Masih, that is, the slave of Masih, of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. He was the leader. He was a very, like a bright spark, and ready with answers all the time. And then Awham, who was his chief advisor, he was to advise him and to tell him all, he give him advice on all matters. And then it was the chief priest, Abul Haritha. He was very well known, and his piety, his knowledge was accepted far and wide in the Christian world. The king of Syria at that time, and it was still a Christian country, and many other Christian kings had honored him very greatly, and they made over to him huge pieces of land, and made him a very rich man also. So these three were the main spokesmen also for them, and they were the very special people. When they came, they presented their case. All three totally wrong beliefs, which does not make sense to anyone. There is no logic in their beliefs also. The first one, they said that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is God himself. And the proof of that was that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam used to make the dead come back to life. And he said the proof of that in the Quran series. The Quran testified that Allah has given that miracle to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Everywhere Allah said, "Bi idhnillah," by the hukam and the command and the permission of Allah, not of his own doing. Anyway, the answers will come later. So that was one of the reasons why they thought Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is God himself. The other people who were very terminally ill, paralyzed people who couldn't walk, blind people, he would make them see again. Everywhere in the Quran, it is in the Quran Sharif. And they used that as a proof, but they overlooked, or rather their stupidity didn't make them see, that everywhere and in those ayahs, Allah repeatedly says, Bi-Ithnillah, by the command of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Another reason why they said he is also God, that he spoke, he used to inform people of the unseen. He should tell them what the food you people have got in your houses, how much have you eaten, how much have you left out. So he was, according to them, Alimul Ghaib also. And also they said that he is God himself, because of these qualities that are in him, and that he was born without a physical father. So that is why they called him the Son of God. One more reason why they said that he is God. Then they said that he is the Son of God. And the reason for giving them that he is the Son of God, and the Quran testifies to that. He was born without a biological father. He did not have a father of this world. And the Quran says that, but he was born by the command of Allah Ta'ala. So they said that therefore he is the Son of God. Allah Ta'ala is his father, and he is the Son of God. Also they claimed that he is the Son of God because he was the first person that as a child that was newly born who spoke. A child when he's just born does not speak. And that also the Quran testifies to that when they accused his mother of being unchaste and having committed na'udhubillah adultery, she pointed to the son, and then he spoke as a newborn child. Until then, no newborn child had spoken. After that, there are cases of other newborn children who also spoke. So anyway, so because of that also, he said he's the Son of God. So in the first place, he said he's God himself. Then they proved that he's the Son of God. So they must decide for themselves, which shows the great idiocy of their thinking. Can the Son and the Father be the same? They prove first, according to them, they prove that he is God himself. And then now they are proving that he is the Son of God. So can the Son and the Father be the same? They can never be the same. The other argument they presented, which is also in the Quran Sharif, of the Trinity, three in one and one in three. Which that is also, they must decide, is it three in one or is it one in three? It can't be both. One of the two. And this also is again completely, if he is God himself, then how can he be one part of God? And if he is the Son of God, then how can he be also part? So this they claim that he is of the Trinity. We say the Quran Sharif itself speaks in so many places that when Allah refers to himself, he refers to himself in the plural, not in the singular. We say if Allah was only one, then he should refer to himself in the singular. نَحْنُ قَدَّرْنَا. We are the ones with this method. نحن نعلم. We are the ones who know. So say they said, according to that, the Quran testified that Allah is not one, He is three. So anyway, the three believe that either He is God Himself, that He is the Son of God, or that He is part of the Trinity. He is one of the three. And all three of those beliefs, if you believe in the one, you can't believe in the other. They are all opposite of one another. And the Quran Sharif has made it so clear. But this is also, as the Quran explained, that many a person who thinks that he knows a lot and that he's very pious, but that's all in his head. When he comes to the test, then he is shown that he knows nothing and he's not pious also at all. So when they came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which we will explain inshallah tomorrow onwards, the answers which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives, and then we see clearly that how stupid the arguments were. And they had no proof whatsoever. All what they were standing on was just all conjecture which was in their own heads and their own brains, and they thought we got a very strong argument. And they were proven completely wrong, which they had no other way but to accept also. And finally they accepted, but still their stubbornness, they did not accept Iman. But they had no answer. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave all those answers. Inshallah, as we carry on, all those answers will be given also, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given in a very casual way. It wasn't some like a big thing also. Like they came making it a big matter, we got a very strong argument. But in the court of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it was nothing. Just in a light way, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam negated all that and proved them wrong. May Allah give us the correct belief. Let us not think that we are very learned and very wise and that we are very pious. A person will think that I'm very tall until he meets somebody who is much taller. Usually some young boys, girls are also tall. But when they meet some real tall person, they realize I'm very short. A person thinks I'm tall, but let him go and stand to be by a tree that is very tall. Then he realizes I'm short. So like that, many of us have got this wrong notions in us, like this Christian, and all wrong beliefs make a person stupid like that. And the correct beliefs make a person wise. For example, the correct belief that I know nothing, humility, that I am not pious at all, I am nothing whatsoever. That is when a person comes to righteousness. And when a person never thinks, finds fault in other people. Many people who are ordinary people, but they will find fault in the ulama, they will find fault in righteous people. And they are thinking, because we are very good, we know everything, and we are finding fault in other people. So Allah guide us to righteousness, the correct beliefs.